Learn from the greatest marketing minds in business, media, and entertainment. This is Marketing Legends. Here's your host, Matt Leitz.
What is happening, my friend? Matt Leitz here, and welcome to the season recap for season number 3. And hard to believe, this has been a heck of a ride. This season was very unique in that we had a wide variety of guests teaching lessons that are just, I mean, talk about complete ends of the spectrum, but all super valuable. And that's part of what I really love about Marketing Legends is that you're never going to find two legends that have the same style. And that's why when you hear this show, I hope that you not only learn, you know, these specific lessons and techniques, but more importantly, that you understand that to become a legend, you're going to do it in your own way and in your own style. So hopefully some of this that you hear is going to inspire you to unlock what's inside of you. So with that said, let's go ahead and kind of recap each and every episode. And the first one was certainly something special. It was with the one, the only Mr. J. Abraham, widely believed to be one of the greatest marketers on earth. And Jay really started with a strong punch, just really reminding us, if you want to make more money in your business, there's only 3 ways to do it. Yep, that's right, only 3. Number 1 is to get more customers. Number 2 is to get those new customers to spend more money on average. And number 3 is to get those customers to come back and buy more frequently. And that's it. Right? There's not a million ways to make more money. It's those 3 ways. Now, if you think about your business or most businesses, where do they spend the most time and energy? It's on the first bucket. It's getting the new customers. There's a couple problems with that. First of all, you know, these are people who don't know you, so it's very expensive to acquire customers when you're doing things like advertising. Obviously very important, but how often does it get neglected? The second and the third way, right? Taking that customer, that buying experience, and increasing the amount of money that they spend, and then getting that customer to come back more often. Not only is a sale, increasing the amount of a sale or increasing the frequency of a scale easier because these are people who've already shown that they want to do business with you. They know you, they like you, they trust you, but the fact that it's so much more profitable. So if you think about it, if you got a $100 sale, and maybe it costs you $50 in advertising to get that $50 sale. If you can take that $100 sale and turn it into $150, what you've done is you've now doubled your profit margin. And if you can get them to come back and spend another $100, just think about what that's doing for your bottom line. So whether it is adding some form of upsell or it is adding some sort of referral program for the people that are already doing business with you, whatever those things are, just start to make it a priority to tap into that resource that you have, which are your existing customers. Another thing that Jay pointed out, which this is something I heard him say years ago, and it's really changed the way that I look at things as a marketer. Jay taught me that great breakthroughs in your business rarely come from within your industry, and they usually come from looking outside of your industry. And this is what I mean by that. So often, we look at other people who do what we do. If we're a roofing company, we look at other roofing companies. If we sell widgets, we look at other widget companies. And we say, well, how are they advertising? Or what is their sales process? And sure, you can always pick up good tips. You can always learn little things. But it's when you look outside of the box and you completely do things in a unique and strange way, that's when you have the real major breakthroughs. And I can tell you, like, for example, in our world, I see, you know, so many companies that are just doing the same, you know, we're doing a webinar, you know, we're doing a sales page, you know, we're doing all of these things. You know, a breakthrough that I saw is I saw a company that was, they had their initial sale, wasn't even a sale, it was a donation. And I was like, wow, that is so brilliant, because now it's not, hey, come buy our thing. It's, hey, come make a donation to a worthy cause. And then because it's always easier to get people to buy more once they've given you a credit card, then it really opened that up. So for us, one of the best offers that I've ever created starts by making a donation to charity. And then, oh, cool, once you've already made a buying decision, click this button to buy another thing. So always recognize the fact that seeing things, when you're looking around as a marketer and you're seeing what's out there, be paying attention, right? Like when you watch the Super Bowl, watch the commercials, get ideas, and really start to think outside of your comfort zone, outside of your industry, outside of the small box that you've been living in. All right, last point that Jay made that I thought was worth sharing is that most entrepreneurs are dreamers, right? We are. We think, you know, we want to do these really big, you know, things, but a lot of times when it comes to, down to actually making goals, right, putting the pen to the paper and deciding, like, this is the thing that I want to achieve, a lot of times we can get a little bit gun-shy and a little bit like, you know, am I really worthy of this? And what Jay said is, instead of asking the question, am I worthy of this goal, you need to be flipping that around and you need to say, is this goal worthy of me? So don't let that feeling of fear and insecurity and, you know, hey, am I an imposter? Can I really do this? Right? Recognize that you're one of a kind, you're unique, you're special, and you can do big things. And when you put that number on paper or that big lofty goal that you want to achieve, know that you're worthy of it so long as you do the work to deserve it. One of the things that I always try to emphasize to people, because when I was first getting started in business, I sort of had this feeling like, you know, I see other people getting successful, I see those success stories, and I would almost have this like kind of a little bit resentment and almost like this doubt, right? Because I would do the work and then I wouldn't get the results and I would kind of fail. And I almost had this feeling like I was kind of cursed, or maybe it wasn't really meant to happen for me. And it was this like kind of went on for years because of the fact that, you know, I wasn't really ready at that point. What I came to realize is that everyone, anyone, you especially, so long as you're doing what it takes to make it, you will get it. And this is, I believe, one of the absolute core fundamentals that you got to believe deep down, like at the heart of you, in your core, is that when you deserve it, you will get it. Because if you have uncertainty about that, if you're like, well, maybe, you know, maybe it's just not meant to be for me, if you don't have that crystal clarity, that belief, that foundation, then you're never going to get there. You're going to just dabble, you're going to spin your wheels, and you're never going to make real progress. You have to know with all of you that when you do what it takes, when you truly deserve to get what it is that you want, that you will get it, and it is coming for you, and it's going to come even bigger and even better than you ever hoped it would. All right, second guest of the season, my buddy Pete Vargas. Pete is known as the stage man. So Pete is the guy that not only himself has been on just unbelievable stages, you know, of just huge magnitude, but he's gotten thousands of people around the world to do the same. So he helped really open me up. Obviously I've been in this world for a while, but I had bought Pete's course for years before he was a friend. I just bought his course, not even knowing who he was. Actually, I showed up to one of his webinar, like at the last 5 minutes of the webinar. And this is just an example of how the world works. Sign up for Pete's webinar. Never heard of Pete Vargas, no idea who he is. Sign up for this webinar. I'm out, you know, with my beautiful girlfriend at the time, now my wife. And, you know, I'm getting these messages coming through on the phone, you know, hey, you know, webinar, whatever. I get home and just at random, I jump on this webinar and Pete's on there and he's telling his story, his closing story about, you know, how his father just had this life change that just changed everything for him. And I just, on a whim, I'm like, you know what? I like this guy. I'm going to buy his product. I forget how much it was. It wasn't a cheap product, but I thought, you know, this can help me. And at that point, I got into it. It was a great product. And I made the decision, I'm going to get to know this person. And someday I'm going to be able to share with him that I've used his product and got great results. So fast forward to today, I've now done, I don't know how many speaking gigs. Now, when we talk about stages, we're not just talking about speaking in front of people at live events, also webinars. All right. So just know that creating a presentation, right? Whatever your pitch is, that's not only going to sell your product or service, but it's also going to sell you. Creating that presentation is one of the most valuable things that you could possibly do. So when Pete came on the show, I always thought of these sort of, you know, presentations and public speaking. I always thought of giving speeches as a sales mechanism, meaning, you know, you give your talk, somebody gives you a credit card and buys your stuff. We discussed that it's much more than just a sales mechanism. It's actually one of the ultimate forms of marketing. So you could be, you know, first and foremost, every time that you're out there, people are finding you, they're Googling you, and they're coming into your world. But anytime that you're talking, you always need to take advantage of it and gather as many leads as you possibly can. So even if you're speaking and doing something, a local meetup, whatever it is, just always make sure that you have permission and that you're giving something of value and you're collecting a lead in return. And what happens is, even if you're speaking for free and you're collecting those leads, the value of those leads after somebody hears you talk is going to be 10 times if they just came from a random, you know, ad or something on the internet. So just really be thinking about, you know, crafting that presentation, because even if you're not getting yourself onto a stage, the other day I had an interview, and when I got done, I was just, you know, kind of like sat there. I was like, dang, you know, like I just crushed that thing. And the reason that I was so good was because I had just practiced my craft in my presentation so much that it just became real, and I just knew it and I owned it and I lived it. Right. So when I had the opportunity, which you're getting opportunities every single day, whether you're talking to business owners or it's a media opportunity, or, you know, you're trying to, you know, pitch to get in, you know, to speak on somebody's stage, whatever it is, you just got to like practice so much. You got to get the marbles out of your mouth. Right. I all the time, I'm talking in the shower, you name it, I'm always honing my craft. So just do whatever you got to do to kind of get your talking points. It's like when I would do TV presentations, yeah, I'd have my outline for what I wanted to say. But the thing is I always had 2 to 3 money makers. Those lines that were just, you know, I knew would be the clips that I could take for later. So if you don't have those sort of short clips, those major talking points, make an exercise where you just sit down, write them all out. Could be 3 of them, could be 5 of them. But then whenever you're in these situations, whether you're selling or trying to get yourself the opportunity to sell, whatever it is, you've got your go-tos that you can come to that are always gonna make people go, all right? Another just kind of small thing that came up in conversation in this episode was this concept of creating open loops whenever you're speaking. So humans have this tendency of, you know, whenever we're watching something, when somebody introduces a topic, we always want to know how that topic closes. I'll give you the perfect example. If you're as old as I am, you remember on the radio, a guy named Paul Harvey. Right. I think Paul is long gone, but Paul always used to tell the first half of a story and leave it with a cliffhanger, and then he would come back and say, and now the rest of the story, and he would finish the thing. So, you know, whatever it might be, whether you're talking about an email or you've got a sales video or a pitch, always open up little things that grab people's interest. And then say, we'll finish this a little bit later, right? So one of the things that I do when I sell on our webinar is I start the story of our son Noah and the day that we learned about his hearing loss. And then I say, if we have a little bit of time after the training, I'll share the rest of the story. And what that does is, whether it's conscious or subconscious or a combination of two, now people are in this place where, like, I gotta wait and figure out how the story ends. And then at the end of the presentation, I share how it was actually a really good thing. It was tragedy turned into triumph. And I create an exact analogy between his hearing loss and his breakthrough with hearing loss to how the breakthrough that my listener is going to have when they use my product and service, right? So I tie it all together. I open up the loop, and then I close it in a way that makes people feel good and helps them to understand an exact analogy of how it can make a change in their life. And the last thing I want to share from Pete's episode is this. And this was really just kind of a reminder to take with you. Whenever you have the opportunity to speak in front of an audience, whether you know it's online or you know it's in person, whatever it might be, you're always going to want to have this tendency to really look good, right? And to avoid looking bad. It's just, it's human nature. So you want to say everything just right and you put all this pressure on yourself. The reality of it is this. The better that you look, a lot of times the worse off you're going to be in terms of your desired result. What is a much better approach is to be okay with being imperfect. You want to be flawed because the most powerful thing that you can do when you're speaking is to help your audience understand that you were once in their shoes and that you are just like them. You want them to feel me too, not so what. And so many speakers try to just really dazzle and impress people. So the minute that you realize that you don't want to be impressive, it really just, it's like this just like weight off of your shoulders. Like, it's good to mess up. That's just fine. And then once they recognize that you're the same with them, they would be nervous when they're speaking, so they're fine having you be nervous. In fact, they're going to support you more, and now you're in this thing where you're in it together. And when you get in that alignment with the audience, now you can take them where you want to go, right? People aren't going to want to buy from you unless they know that they're connected with you. And you have to really show that, hey, I'm no different than you, and I truly do care about you, because people do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when you get to that place that you and I are actually on the same team, we're in this thing together, they're going to want to go with you and they're going to buy whatever it is that you have to sell. All right, so next episode recap, Allie Webb. And Allie was somebody just absolutely loved the episode. She's just a firecracker, amazing personality. If you don't know Allie, she is probably best known for, she started a company called Dry Bar, which is a chain of, oh man, I don't, I'm gonna mess this up. It's a hair chain, we'll leave it at that. She sold that hair salon for $255 million. And that was not her only big play. She started multiple companies in multiple industries. Every time it's just turned into this massive brand. And Allie's had a couple best-selling books. Her most recent one is called The Messy Truth. So she really, really tries to help entrepreneurs and creators understand how hard and how messy it is to start anything. And I think that's really, really important because, you know, when you're probably like me, when you're doing these things, you have this constant self-doubt that's going to creep in. You're always wondering, like, am I doing the right thing? Am I ever going to make it? Right? It's just really stopping and recognizing that that same challenge and difficulty that you're having is the same challenge and difficulty that other people have had, just on different paths. And when you recognize that sloppiness and difficulty and the fact that you don't know the answers is really the greatest opportunity, because that's when most people stop and they give up. They run into these walls and they go, well, you know what? I'm not going to be able to figure this out. And just realizing that's like when you meet these people who sell these companies for hundreds of millions of dollars and you're like, man, these are just regular cool people who just had that tenacious attitude and just fought through whatever's in their way. They smashed through walls like they were the freaking Kool-Aid man. When you get that attitude, you start to enjoy that difficulty. You start to realize that it's not the challenge in the way, that the challenge is the way. And you get this sort of feeling from the universe of like, man, I'm right where I need to be. I'm going to keep on going, and then nothing can get in your way. All right. So she also talked a lot about just realizing the highs and lows of startups. Like, they are all over on the extreme. I mean, literally one day you're just, you know, on top of the world. You can't believe it. I've had days where I feel like I'm freaking Luke Skywalker. I swear to God. Like, I'm just like, man, I am going to be the greatest thing in history. Right. And then I have other days where I'm just like, dude, you don't got what it takes. Pack it up. You know, like, just stop, you know, like, you're not meant to do this. So it's this extreme of these highs and lows. And when you realize that, it becomes so much more important to celebrate the high moments. I know that's one of those cliche things, but the fact that she brought this up really was a reminder that, you know, just you got to keep your emotions sort of in that middle level, right? Even if, you know, the victories are high and low, keep the even keel. Because sometimes those things that you think are the worst hindrances are actually your best opportunities, all right? Next episode, new friend, a guy I've known for years and really respected, Peter Conti. Peter is a legendary real estate investor who endured one of the most tragic things anybody that I've ever known has dealt with. He was in a massive accident and just basically crippled, and not just crippled, in chronic pain, severe, extreme pain. And really everything he was doing just was going down that path, you know, painkillers, just really like having a lot of bad thoughts. And one day he had this crazy thought that he was going to walk the Appalachian Trail, right? If you know anything about the Appalachian Trail, it's long, it's difficult, and it's not something that most people with two good legs want to do. But he had this really weird sort of epiphany that if he walked the Appalachian Trail, that his legs would have to be healed. So he stopped focusing on, you know, hey, my legs need to get better. And he made another goal and he kind of shifted, right? And he shared a lot of his stories of just the you know, the tragedies and the triumphs. It's just amazing what happens in life when this stuff comes at you, these crap, this tragedy, this just these difficulties that almost seem insurmountable. When you've been around long enough and you've done enough of these things, and maybe you've had the same experience in your life, you start to realize that a lot of times the worst things that happen to you end up being the biggest blessings. And you start to see it over and over. And what you got to do is get into that tendency of recognizing that, hey, it's not the obstacle that's in the way. It's the obstacle is the way. Like, how can I take this lemon and turn it into lemonade? And you start to like get to this point where, you know, I get into to difficult situations in business and everybody else is freaking out and I'm laughing. Like, I just literally, like, stuff can hit the fan and I'm just sitting back and I'm, because there's always a way to spin it. There's always this opportunity to make this thing that's horrible into this thing that's great. And that just shows you the power of perspective. First of all, to recognize the fact that this really, really bad thing could be really, really great. Like, it just, when you get that power of going, man, how can I look at this different? You not only get that power in those bad situations to make massive change, but you realize just how like powerful you are as a human being to say, all right, what is this situation? And then what can I do about it? Because so often we get stuck in it and we don't step back and look at it and come up with solutions. And one of the things I love that Peter shared was he talked about what he called green hat thinking. So this is sort of the classic, you know, when you're in a business, you run multiple hats. And what he said that he does is that, you know, in order to get him, you know, out of one mode and into another, and he would literally physically put on a hat so that he would get into that thinking mode. One of the things that we don't do nearly enough, whether it's in business or in life, is take time to actually be creative, right? We're so often we're in it, right? We're just running to kind of keep up with it, to keep our head above water, but we're not stepping back, right? We're in the trees, we're not looking at the forest. So what you've got to get a practice of doing is getting that creative time, right? That time where you can just stop for a second, breathe, turn your phone off, turn off distractions, close your door, and actually get creative. And whatever that is for you, maybe that's grabbing the notebook, maybe for me it's the whiteboard, right? And having that time, because it's in those moments of actually being in creativity and letting it flow. Of course, you're going to have some bad ideas, but you're going to have that one breakthrough. And you're going to have these moments where you're going to start connecting the dots in ways that you wouldn't have if you just stayed in your everyday, like, you know, just drudgery, emails, text messages. Shut it down, take a moment, get creative, and get back to what you really loved when you started this thing. That's being a creator who can create anything that you can possibly imagine, but it starts by taking the time to actually give yourself the space. All right, next one, the brilliant Eben Pagan. So Eben was actually the very first person I ever learned about AI from, and this was years and years ago at a very high level mastermind. In fact, I wasn't even participant in the mastermind. I was kind of an observer. I wasn't even in the core circle. And I remember him, you know, just saying that it's going to be an absolute game changer. It's going to completely revolutionize the world. And everybody's like, oh, okay, yeah, we'll see. Well, turns out he called his shot. So Eben is, he's just really known as one of the smartest marketers on the planet. And he shared with us his philosophy for accelerated learning. So whenever he has a topic that he needs to learn, he has a very systematic approach in which he learns it. And, you know, basically it's like, okay, if there's any endeavor that's worth his time that he's going to get into, he doesn't dabble in learning anything. If he's going to learn a topic, he goes all in, and he basically starts by saying, okay, I'm going to start by ordering, and this isn't exact, but this is kind of just what I took away from it. You know, I'm going to go and I'm going to find, let's just say, for example, the dozen best books on the topic. And then he would just rifle through these books, and I've done something sort of similar, and just kind of get the big, you know, bullet points from it. You know, just the kind of stuff that you can get from reading the headlines and kind of get the gist. And the reality of it is, you can learn a lot from books without having to dive into them and read them word for word. In fact, I rarely read every word of a book, but yet I have bookshelves full, and my wife thinks I'm crazy. But what I do is I will look through them, get the big ideas, and then I will dive into the things that really are calling me. And I do this thing where I use my bookshelf more as a reference than I do reading word for word. That's at least my style. So what Eben will do is say he's got the best dozen books that he finds on Amazon, learns a lot from reading through them, then he'll just look and say, okay, now I'm going to take the best three, and I'm going to read those three books, and I'll actually read them, right? And he's note-taking them, and he's, you know, just making sure that he's learning as much as he can. And then he finds the best one, and he goes super deep into it. And he just really, whatever your system is, it doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be, you know, similar. And I might not have gotten his learning system correctly, but the biggest thing I took away was having an actual system for learning, for recognizing, hey, this is a field that I really need to wrap my head around. What is my system for doing it? Rather than just kind of, you know, hey, get a little bit here, get a little bit here, like actually get into it and create a system. So beyond that, you know, we talked a lot about, you know, artificial intelligence. One of the biggest things that I took away was this sort of reminder. If you want to truly be successful in business, I think it's really important that you find an intersection of what's working, right? What's hot? Where's the growth? And what is it that you love, right? Because if you just simply go out and say, well, okay, I want to get into AI because that's where all of the attention is, you're not going to have enough interest or excitement to really push it. But if you can say, all right, AI is where money is going right now, and I have an interest in blank, all right? Maybe it's in cooking. And you say, okay, well, how can I use this thing that's hot and this thing that I love, find the intersection of opportunity and passion? That's where the magic happens. So now what you're doing is you're making a chatbot that is helping people take random ingredients in their fridge and turn it into something delicious by using the power of AI. Now you've got something that could really go. So figure out, how can I take opportunity and passion, find that intersection, and when you do, that's where the magic happens. And one of my favorite quotes of all time is that don't look for what the world needs. Look for what brings you alive, because what the world needs is more people that are brought alive. Right? And that is really like, I mean, you don't have to love everything that you do, but if you can just infuse that little bit, you know, that little something, that little special thing that is your thing, and then go where the money is, that's when you got a winner. And then in our final episode of the year, we really went from the, you know, the strategy and the sort of esoteric, you know, philosophy, you know, around marketing, and we got very, very, very specific. So my buddy Alaric Heck, who is a legendary YouTube advertiser, somebody who's been just crushing it, hitting the Inc. 500 list, at the top of the Inc. 500 list consistently, he really, 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 you know, broke down a lot of details about YouTube marketing. And you know, in addition to a lot of great tips that you're going to need to watch, you know, and, or listen to the episode in order to be able to get them, he kind of reminded us, you know, because Alaric is not a flashy type. He's just a super cool, nice, down-to-earth guy, right? But he's built, you know, a huge following and amassed a fortune by being in front of the camera. And he reminds us that in marketing, we get so caught up about how we look or how people are going to perceive us. But when we can learn to just kind of be more natural, be more authentic, and talk to people like we're talking to a friend, it's that authenticity that really draws people, right? It's not the, hey, look at me, you know, I got this flashy stuff. Right? When people can get that, like, hey, this is a real person that's down to earth, that is when they're going to be drawn to what it is that you have to share. So figure out how can you be an authority in your space, but do it by being authentic, by not trying to be, you know, Mr. Cool Guy or Mr. Cool Girl, but by being the person that's willing to be more vulnerable than somebody else in your space, by somebody that's willing to show the journey, right? Not just the good, but also the bad and even the ugly, so that people understand, no matter where they're at in that journey, hey, if this person got there, then I can get there too. All right, so forget about the self-conscious stuff and just really put yourself in the shoes of the people that you're learning from, because ultimately that's the way that you're going to build the most connection and therefore build the biggest following. So beyond that, which I do think is a very, very valuable lesson for anybody, especially if you're a little bit shy to get in front of a camera, he really dug in a lot into the specifics of YouTube advertising. A lot of great conversation happened around, you know, what are the different types of targeting that you're gonna go into? And I'll let you listen to that episode to learn that. But one of the things he kind of woke me up on was the power of retargeting. And you're probably familiar with retargeting, or sometimes they call it remarketing, because, you know, you've seen this. Everywhere you go on the internet, all of a sudden you're seeing the same ads or the same company follows you everywhere. Obviously, that's retargeting. And the thing is that, you know, while I've done retargeting, I've never done it nearly to the level that he has. And he just, you know, really reminded me that, you know, first of all, people need to see something 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 15 times before it really, you know, like they really are going to take action. And think about you. I mean, I'm the same way. I mean, there's times where I'll see the same ad, you know, the 10th time, and finally I click on the thing. So if you are willing to go the extra mile with retargeting, and this is something that we're just now, you know, starting to implement because of this episode, and you know, because as we go through this, guys, I'm not just, you know, the host. I'm also learning, you know, right alongside you. So we're going back and we're like doubling down on our retargeting, and you're probably going to see, you know, me everywhere. But a big part of the reason why people don't invest, you know, the energy and the money into retargeting is because they get this feeling like, you know, that they're annoying people. The bottom line is people are going to see an ad no matter what. And if they showed even an inkling of interest in what it is that you offer, then it might as well be your ad that they see. So don't be afraid to show somebody the message. And this is a great lesson I learned from Grant Cardone, which is you got to assume that people haven't seen your messaging. And even if they have seen it, that they've probably forgotten it. So how often should you get in front of somebody? The answer is as often as you possibly can. And then once you think you've done it one too many times, do it again, because you never know. It's that one more time that could finally get them. All right. So if you have an interest in advertising, make sure to go back and watch that episode. A lot of actionable steps in that. So with that said, a lot of wisdom obviously shared in season three. I'm truly privileged and humbled to have such smart minds, you know, share such value, and also for you to be listening. As the host of the show, I'm not just learning from the guests that are spitting all of this knowledge. You know, I'm continuously learning from the experience myself. And one of the things that, you know, I just want to be completely upfront about is that, you know, when I set out to make a podcast, I imagine, truth be told, that it would take off a lot more than it has. You know, that we'd have a lot more subscribers, a lot more followers, you know, that we'd be able to track a lot more revenue back. And just to be completely blunt with you, our podcast has not been a success, at least financially. And for us, we don't even make money. We donate all the money to charity. Now, it has been successful in that, you know, we've taught a lot of people a lot of stuff. The feedback that you've got given has been tremendous. But one of the things I'm continuously reminded of is that when you set out, you got a goal or you got a project that you're doing, and you have this ambition to achieve this thing for a particular set of reasons, right? I want to make a lot of money, or I want to gain a lot of notoriety. The reality of it is, when you take on this new ambition, a lot of times it's not going to succeed, or it's going to succeed in a different format than you expect that it will. For me, you know, when I created a podcast, I was expecting it was going to be a great lead generation tool. You know, it was going to create all of this revenue and help charities and do all these things. The reality of it is, it didn't really do that stuff nearly as much as I expected it would. Now, the good news is it had a lot of other benefits, as this type of thing often does. I made a lot of great relationships. I was able to learn a ton. And I really came to recognize that where I'm putting my time and energy needs to be focused on the things that are going to get the most benefit and the most yield. So the thing that I really want to encourage you to do is, when you've got this new project or goal, is to stop for a minute and ask yourself the question, if I don't get the immediate benefit that I expect, are there other things that I can get from this? Are there these sort of ancillary or secondary benefits? For me, it was making these connections with these really high-level people that I wouldn't have had the benefit of getting. And if the answer to that is no, you got to really stop and go, is this definitely going to be worth my time and my energy? Because if it's only the benefit of money, you're oftentimes going to lose. And that's why when I'm talking to young people who are going out and looking for a job, I say, don't just look for what you can make from that job. Look at what you can learn from that job. Because oftentimes it's that secondary benefit from something that you take on that's going to end up being the biggest thing that you gain from it. So what is that secondary thing? And if that's worth it, no matter what happens, whether I make the money, whether I get famous, if I'm still going to get that benefit, then it's a no-brainer, and plow forward with everything that you got. And with that said, let's go ahead and wrap this thing up. I want to, first of all, say thank you so much for listening. When I'm vulnerable and let you know that maybe we don't have the listenership and we haven't generated the revenue or you know, got as much money for charity as I would have hoped, I want to make sure that you understand that to me is less important than knowing that you, listening to this right now, are getting benefit from this, that it's making impact in your life, whether it's, you know, getting the marketing tips and tricks that you're immediately putting into your business, getting the inspiration that's going to help you think differently, think bigger, or really, you know, help you understand, like, what is your path going to be? Because everybody's got their different path on the way to becoming a legend. What is yours going to be? What's going to be your unique thing in the world? And the reality of it is, it's not always something that's completely outside of the box. A lot of times it's taking a little piece of this and a little piece of that, right? Setting this aside because it doesn't serve you, and then putting your unique blend, your unique flavor that's unlike anybody else in the world. And when you find that thing that's your thing, all right, whether it's a thing or it's a bunch of things put together, when you find that groove, you're going to feel it. And when you feel it, you know it. And when you got that confidence, you're going to go and you're going to leave the doubt behind and you're really going to make it happen. So I just want to let you know how much I truly appreciate you tuning in. Hopefully you not only got a lot from this season, but from this recap. And if you have, you know, any sort of love for this podcast and you want us to keep making it, you want to keep going, please do spread the love. Send it to a friend. Right, whether that person's in marketing or otherwise, right, if there's an episode that really caught your attention. And if you haven't left a review yet on Apple, please do, because those reviews not only like give us fuel to keep going, but what they do is they allow us to get bigger and better guests. So if you'd be so kind to go to Apple, find Marketing Legends, and leave a review, it would truly mean the world. But hey, if you just want to show up and listen, I totally get it and still appreciate the fact that you're here. So with that said, thank you for a phenomenal season of Marketing Legends. And just go out there and find out what you're made of. Like, live every single day like you are going to be the person on the podcast. Like, you're going to be the person whose stories are being shared and other people are using the example, because you've got it in you. And you know that you do. So with that said, this is Matt Leitz. See you later. And remember that we're in this together. Take care.
This has been Marketing Legends. Go big. Give back. Be legendary.